Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to show 236 of Absolutely Intercultural, the show about all things intercultural. Thanks especially to Katie Stewart, who contacted us about an interesting initiative she'd heard of, and which means that for the first time on Absolutely Intercultural, we'll be hearing about makeup and how that differs across cultures.
And it's just so sad that white people need to be the ones to say to all those brands that they need to include colours, while people of colour have been saying it for so many years and nobody's been listening.
And we'll also be going to China to find out more about the universal social monitoring that you read so much about.
But as far as I understand, those things are held centrally. This was the point, that they're combined with other things. And so, if you like, society is rating you as an individual on your behaviour in lots of realms. And I think it's that part that scares me and I find rather discomforting, I must say.
This is Anne Fox in Denmark, and this show is possible only because of people like Katie and Mara, who gave us ideas and are willing to talk to us about them. So, if you have an idea for our show, then contact us through our website at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. And next time, it could be you. Now, of course, it makes sense, but I'd never thought about it before, that attitudes to makeup and trends in cosmetics vary across cultures. Katie Stewart heard about Mara De Luca, an Israeli studying in Germany, who made a 10-stop makeup tour of the UK in January because she's just wild about makeup. You can see some of the looks on the blog post for this show, but for the whole range, you'll have to go to Mara's Instagram account, which we also link to in the post. It turns out that the world of cosmetics covers gender, the racial divide, and issues of animal cruelty. So it's not just absolutely cosmetic.
So are you doing the makeup professionally, or is this a strong interest?
No, it's definitely by strong interest. It's something that I've watched and admired for so long. And I was on holiday and I thought, you know what, it might as well, because the UK has so many brilliant makeup artists and it's so different from different countries that I've lived in, such as Germany or Israel, that it would have been such a great experience to learn their way of doing things and the different art forms. And I'm also doing people of different backgrounds and in different places. And you always see the difference between what they're doing in each place. And you can also see a bit of their culture and background come into the makeup.
So you are talking about that you already are aware of differences in makeup between presumably Israel and Germany as well as the UK. So before we start talking about your tour in a bit more detail, what are the sort of differences that you're talking about?
Right, well, for example, in Germany, it's very natural. People don't really tend to wear makeup on a daily basis. Or if they do, it is very basic mascara, just a bit of foundation, just the basics. Well, here in the UK, it is extremely colourful. There's a lot of contouring and bronzing going on. A lot of people also do tanning and they try to be a bit darker. And that's the exact opposite of Israel, where people tend to use more often than not lighter shades and things that are less colourful and more neutral, but still going for quite heavy makeup.
So are we talking about makeup for your everyday life, or are we talking about party makeup?
Everyday life.
So who makes up who? You make them up, or they make you up, or is it reciprocal?
We're usually working on a model, and each one of us does a half of the model's face. So they demonstrate on one half, and then I learn and get some assistance from them on the other half.
So can you tell me a bit more about the different backgrounds that you are seeing on your tour of the UK?
Yes, definitely. So I've got to work with Dunya Malik, for example, yesterday, who's absolutely brilliant. She's such a lovely person, and she's originally from Pakistan. And I really got to see the neutral tones that she used, which is a bit similar to what we would have done in Israel, in comparison to everyone else who was doing extreme colors and blues and purples and greens and all those colors.
So you've got somebody of Pakistani origin, and who else are you visiting or have you visited?
Right, so I'm going to do Priscilla Abadi, who's also originally of African origins. Something that I really like is also getting to work with men in makeup, which would have not been so traditional back in the days.
So men are wearing makeup as an everyday thing?
Yeah, they do now, and I find it absolutely brilliant. And they're also amazing artists. So they do create such amazing looks, and I feel like they're really influencing the makeup industry at the moment.
This is really not my area of expertise. So, but the one thing that I think I might know is that women or people who don't have white skin often say that they have difficulty in finding products mm-hmm. that are made for their skin. So is that still a problem, or are there products now that do they have lots to choose from?
No, it's absolutely a problem. There are some brands that are coming out now and creating things with a lot more shades and tones and so on, but the problem is still there. I mean, Benefit Cosmetics, until last year, they had never used a black model before. Yeah, and it's at this point, it's 2018, end of 2017. It's about time that everyone is equal, everyone is the same. And then on their packaging, they usually have girls, for example. And it's never been a black person on their packaging.
Wow.
The same thing goes with YSL, where they've came up with a collection and they had super light shades. It was about, I don't know the number, so it might be wrong of how many shades exactly. It was about 20, 25 shades that were all almost the same shade of white, and then three shades of black. And there was no brown or anything in between.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. So it is a real problem. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's something that people need to wake up to, and it needs to be talked about more.
Yeah.
For the questions, because you've asked me, we could actually talk about cruelty-free makeup, because it's been tested on animals so much throughout the years, and there's finally a movement against it.
Yeah, that is interesting, because yeah, chains like The Body Shop, they always traded on the fact that they were like an oasis in a desert of makeup that was all tested on animals. So that is changing, is it?
Yes, absolutely. So it's finally the time that all brands are trying to become cruelty-free. And I think especially the bigger brands are having a bit of a problem with it, because it is the law in China that if you want to trade there, you must test on animals.
Oh, right.
It's absolutely horrible. It's horrific, really. And I really admire all those new startups and new brands that are just coming into the scene right now. And they're saying, we're offering products that are just as good, but we're not testing on animals, and we're not harming other beings just to look good ourselves.
So the cruelty-free makeup is perfectly legal and perfectly easy to sell within Europe, for example.
It is perfectly easy to sell and legal in every single country in the world except for China. So it is a bit like it's time maybe for brands to just try and put China a bit under pressure and just stop selling there, because at the end of the day, China will need the money and they will have to crack down and understand that we don't need to be tested on animals, and that animals are our friends.
Yeah. So is it easy to pick out the cruelty-free brands? They describe it on their packaging quite prominently, do they?
Yes, so legally you must put if you're cruelty-free or not on the packaging.
Oh, I see, it's required.
Yeah, you've got to have a little picture of a bunny rabbit that says cruelty-free on it.
Oh, right.
And it's okay. Usually at the back of the packaging.
I know that the Body Shop, for example, has been talking about this for years, but they were sort of a voice in the wilderness. But what you're saying, or what you seem to be saying, is that this is becoming the norm that makeup is cruelty-free.
Yes, exactly. So I would say at least 60-70% of makeup nowadays is cruelty-free, and that number is just increasing, but this has only been happening in the past 2 years.
Oh, so it's very recent.
Massively this year.
Ah, okay. Right, so it's going in the right direction.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And it goes again to the same thing with people of color, that this movement and these things that are happening only after all of these influencers, YouTubers, people online have started finally talking about them and gaining a voice. And it's just so sad that white people need to be the ones to say to all those brands that they need to include colors, while people of color have been saying it for so many years and nobody's been listening.
You can see more at Mara's Instagram account at Mara DeLuca Cosmetics and on our website at www.absolutely-intercultural.com, where we also show the cruelty-free logo so that you know what to look for when you're out shopping. So China got a bad mention there, and recently I've also been seeing lots of articles about the social monitoring of the Chinese, which could affect your credit rating for a house loan or even whether you get a new job. Since my husband, Tony Fox, goes to China quite often, I thought I'd ask him to find out more about these ominous developments when he went out on his last trip at the end of 2018. So let's go absolutely monitored.
But this social rating issue is about, for example, if you're a good customer on a train, on public transport, but you don't see any evidence of that as a visitor.
No, of course not. I mean, if you're culturally remote, as I am, I'm ashamed to say I know very little Chinese, despite being involved with China for quite a long time now. But obviously, I'm not involved in any of that side of any cultural activity. So, no, it's not evident to me in any way, no. Mm.
Okay, so you knew that I was interested in this before you went, and so I sort of primed you to ask your Chinese contacts about this. So what are their feelings about being rated? Because you've been talking about monitoring through CCTV, but this, we're talking about actually being rated, given 2, 3, 4, 5 stars on your behaviour. Did you get any feedback from them about that?
Not really. I mean, I think, of course, this is the case for a lot of trading outlets, of course. But we have it in the West. I'm not quite sure that it's so bad. We've become very used to being expected to make judgments. I'm being asked on by email, and you know, as soon as I register as a customer anywhere, I get walloped by the various groups. If I've stayed in a hotel, they're chasing me for ages afterwards, finding out how satisfied I was or wasn't about what went on. So in some ways, it's only an extension of that. I think what I find a bit scary, and I think probably they do as well, is the combination of these across various levels of activity. And obviously in China, the state is a very dominant feature. And so there is the state behind a lot of this activity.
So instead of Airbnb giving me a rating as a visitor, it's the Chinese state rating me?
In a sense, yes. Because one of the things, for instance, that surprised me was we got stuck in a big traffic crawl on a motorway going out to the airport as I was coming out. And because we were stuck in the traffic in a taxi, I was surprised to see lots and lots of cars burning up on the inside on the hard shoulder. And they were conspicuously large vehicles, large expensive vehicles. And my colleagues were saying, well, you know, it's all very well them doing that, but there'll be a fine tomorrow. Because, of course, the police monitor this sort of activity, and they take a photograph of the driver. They have the registration number. They can put the two together, just as they do in the West. But as far as I understand, those things are held centrally. This was the point, that they're combined with other things. And so, if you like, society is rating you as an individual on your behaviour in lots of realms. And I think it's that part that scares me and I find rather discomforting, I must say.
But back to the drivers who were breaking the law, they were basically making a calculation that they were prepared to pay the fine in order to get there quicker.
Yeah, indeed. And that's quite an interesting sort of free market situation in very heavily state-controlled China, of course. But this is one way of looking at it, that the way you behave, especially in such a monitored situation, is a way of you're making cost-benefit choices about what you may or may not do.
There's a wonderful intercultural exercise that was carried out in the early 1960s at the height of the Cold War, when American children were shown photos of a tree-lined urban street, which they were told was in the Soviet Union. They thought that there must be all sorts of sinister reasons for the trees, including that they were hiding bad quality Soviet architecture, or that they were there to cheer people up in an otherwise miserable life under communism. But when they were told that the scene was in the US, then the trees were to cheer people up, bring free fruit to city folks, and other positive reasons. The China social monitoring story seems to me to have elements of the tree-lined town photo story. Don't forget that you can leave a comment about this show or give us suggestions for future shows at www.absolutely-intercultural.com, where you can also access our archives, which are now going back over 10 years. You can also follow us on Facebook, where we share interesting links several times a week. And of course, feel free to subscribe to us on iTunes or any other podcast app. The next show will be coming to you from Dr. Laurent Borgmann in Germany on April the 5th. So until then, stay tuned.
Absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturalisch.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.